The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
I'll tell you, I'm really excited about this morning. There's just so much I feel like I could just share here. And I really mean it. We're very glad to be able to get out here finally. As Pastor Dave says, we do live in Minneapolis. I like to just put a little exclamation point on that. We live in South Minneapolis. It's a few degrees warmer. So, but we are very grateful for, hi Roy, good to see you, for our connection with you folks. And it has come through the Mordals and the Woodis, James and Juanita and Roy and Arlene, is that it? I got it. Good to see you. And through our coat giveaway in the wintertime. And it's just a wonderful outreach. It's a very short one. It lasts about 2 hours because it's so cold. And, you know, it's like giving out umbrellas when it rains. It's no problem. They go very fast. And I'll tell you, whatever you've given in them coats, within, isn't that right, Jim, Juanita? And yeah, you know, it's just, there's an old expression we have in the city when you do food giveaway, you put out the bacon and they'll come running. and that's what happens. And one of the great things, I want to just give a testimony this morning that is so beautiful too, is your team of people that come and pray. And you know, as an evangelist, sometimes we can speak evangelistically. You know, 10 people got saved, hundreds were saved, you know. But I believe a fact, and Jim, Juanita have told us that, and Roy and Arlene too, and others that have prayed, and Wayne, forgive me, Wayne, you've come, and Mary, that over 90% of the people that come in that line receive prayer. Isn't that correct? And it's something. Jesus said there are like multitudes out there. And I noticed that just a few weeks ago, too, just driving in the city and just seeing how the city has changed so much, just the many different cultures now, and the world has come to our city. And you know, to reach out, and it's such a practical way to do it through coats. And so even with the blankets for the Ukraine, that is just tremendous. And Wayne, I'm just jealous you got to go to the Ukraine again, you and Mary. That's not fair. Oh, twice. Well, you got 6 more to catch up to me. And I want to give you a little background about that too, quickly. 1998, we got to go to the Ukraine for the very first time. And there was a team of us, and we really had the privilege of, it was funny, I'm going to talk a little bit today about getting rid of some baggage, and when we used to first go over there, man, we had so much baggage. I think the pastor of the church, his car had to be repaired, and so we were bringing auto parts in these big green army duffel bags and waters and notebooks for the Bible school, which was just starting, and this was a forerunning event for us, too. And we're, you know, called Forerunner Ministries, and we really got to apply that, being the first American teachers in this Bible school. And we got to take them on an outreach. They were supposed to go on a prayer walk, but the Ukrainian people are very passionate. Once they get a hold of something, you know, whatever they do, you know, when they sing opera, oh, it's really, you know. So when they get the Lord, it's, oh. So we go for a prayer walk while they start witnessing to everything that was moving. And it turned into an evangelistic outreach. It was wild. And one of the times when we were doing that, I had the guitar with, too. And so they brought their guitars and singing minstrels. You know, we were just praising the Lord wherever we went. And praying, and I'll never forget, we went to this one apartment complex, and we were singing, and the couple of ladies come out and wave to us on the balcony, and we wave, and we just start singing. We sang one of the songs that the Lord gave me, J-E-S-U-S, For God So Loved the World, and J-E-S-S, And I forgot what else was, Allah love Jesus or something like that. And we got back here to Minneapolis, and Pastor Gregory from Churches of Praise called and left a message that one of the young ladies that went on that balcony was ready to commit suicide. And she heard the music. And she came out and saw the music. She saw our smiley faces. And she wanted to know what church we were involved with. And it was Church of Praise. And she came over and gave her heart to the Lord. Not only that, but she ended up going out in the mission field with Sister Galina out into the western part and eastern part of the Ukraine in the villages. Isn't that awesome? And so that began our relationship with the folks over there, and we just began going back, and there's so many stories. And I just want to encourage you, sow into that ground over there, especially now. Again, I'm just jealous because what gets added on to you spiritually when you come back, you know, you just can conquer the world, man. I've been in the villages of the Ukraine, and I've eaten the food. And you know, hey, look, I'm a very fussy eater, and, you know, God will give you wisdom and all that. And they always put mayonnaise on their chicken, and I can't stand mayonnaise. So I just turned the chicken upside down and ate it. And it was great. Well, so much for that. But so those are a few things that we feel like we've been connected with you folks, and it's just wonderful to finally be here and to just share our hearts. One of the things that it's really, just pray for me this morning. It's really hard to try to capsulize this because one of the things the Lord, I guess I could best summarize it this way. We've been involved with street ministry for a lot of years, and the Lord really added that onto us when we lived in Southern California in the 80s. That was like some really tremendous thrust spiritually of evangelism, and I emphasize thrust. We went all over the nation. And through that, the Lord put on our hearts to come back to Minneapolis, Twin Cities, and to carry what he added on to this. And that's not even all fulfilled yet. We believe God's going to continue to do something powerful in the inner city and a great harvest. And it's not just there. It's out here, too. The world is coming to your doorstep out here, too. Amen? It's everywhere. And so there's no longer this separation between out here, although it's really nice to be in the country today. But when we were in Hollywood, out in California, how many of you remember Arthur Blessett? That man that carried that cross all around the world. He was finishing his last leg of carrying that cross around the whole world. He was finishing it one day in Hollywood, and we got to be there. And, of course, you know, TBN was there, and it was a big, you know, had the cameras and everything. And we were in this little coffee house right off Hollywood Boulevard. And it was raining that day. It was pouring, and Arthur Blessed came in there. And I'll never forget what he said. He said, you know, I don't have a ministry. I thought if anybody could talk about that they have a ministry, it was this man that carried this cross around the world. But he said, I don't have a ministry. He said, I have a life. I have a relationship. That's what I have. That's what I want to talk about today. And this is something the Lord is just putting more and more, not only into our hearts, he's just making it a reality. You know, it's a wonderful thing this morning to be able to come here and know that we don't have to perform. If the sound isn't, you know, just quite right, no offense, you did good, I'm happy. But, you know, and we learned this out on the street where we have no PA system. And you break 2-3 guitar strings and it sounds like a gong show. Remember the gong show? You know? But we would just keep singing, and we did that, Bob, in Hollywood, but you know, and and all these places. And through that, you know, it's exciting things, you know, seeing the Lord move as we did this. And throughout the years, as we did evangelism, You know, a funny thing began to happen is just like when we come to church or you get in a certain ministry function, you can just go through the motions. And here we had this exciting ministry. We went all over the United States and then eventually into other countries. And I could just get up, you know, and do our songs, give our little stories, and just go right through the motions. And after a while, it began to feel like a weight. And I didn't even enjoy doing it anymore. Didn't even enjoy. You know, when that joy leaves you, you know, and you're just doing this just to somehow feel like you can stay at some level with God. You know, that's what the other religions have. I love what it says in Corinthians. Paul said, we're not like so many peddling God's word. And you can interpret that for whatever religion you can think of. But but we're not like that, he said. We're commissioned. And even Paul, through all the tremendous ministry things he did, caught up into the third, fourth heaven. Talk about revelation. He says, I count it all as loss for the sake of knowing you. And one morning, my office, as I felt this weight just start, I think we were going to do an outreach or something. I thought, oh, Lord. And I felt the Lord said, Mark, you're carrying a yoke that's not your own. And some of you this morning may be carrying a religious yoke. I don't know what it is, but you got some kind of a yoke and you need to release it. What a wonderful thing that, you know, again, God has not called us to performance. There's no American Idol in heaven. Isn't that cool, bro? You know, oh, you didn't play just right. You did unto the Lord. So what, you know? And you just get, we got to get free from this stuff because our society puts all this on. We have this programmed into us. And don't think for a second it doesn't infiltrate into our Christian walk and our relationship, our services. And we have to be reminded that we are called to a life. First John 5 said, he who has the Son has life. You hang around the one that's got life, you're going to have life. Duh. I got a little sign I carry with me. It says, duh. That's my definition of wisdom. He touched me. You know, we finally get it, you know. Yeah, well, I don't have to do this. No, we get to do this. That's why we go stand out in the cold, right, Jim? You got to have some revelation or you're going to stand out there and freeze, right? You know, you better. We love doing this, you know. And the people see that. They remember more of who you are than what you say. Anybody, people, I pray with all kinds of people. I finally figured out a lot of times they pray with you to receive Jesus just to get rid of you. Yeah. Yeah, they go through the word. I did it. First time I got prayed, I prayed and I was in our rock band and I stayed in it. I received Jesus into my heart and I kept playing in the bars. But I was undercover Christian. Some of you remember that? Secret Agent Man. Johnny Rivers. Yeah. Undercover for Jesus. But it wasn't until that, that's a whole other story, but when that all broke up, the band, then it got real. And I did surrender to the Lord. Got down on my knees and just you know, gave it all to the Lord. And when I got up, there was something different. Then after about 25, 30 years later, I had to go back down on the floor again and give him that yoke. See, we get this little thing. We get touched by God and we come into a certain level of spirituality, then we don't do it consciously, but it's an unconscious thing. We say, thank you, Lord, I'll take it from here. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't expect a lot of amens out of that. I could see your very spiritual bunch here. Wish we could take a picture of this. But we do. And then we get caught up in this thing, you know, this, you know, works, whatever you want to call it. In Psalms 19, there was one verse that I felt that was key for this morning. It said, the testimony of the Lord, Psalms 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And see, this is what the Lord, is wanting to make our testimony, our life, real and simple. We Rick Joyner, a number of months, when we heard him at the Holy Spirit conference, talked about that God had just began showing that we as Christians, as believers in the end times, we have to learn a little to live a little more simply. We're carrying too much baggage. John Matthew says it's clutter. We've got too much clutter in our minds. And again, that's not a conscious thing, but it's just in our world where we get bombarded every day with thousands and thousands of options. You know, you go to pump gas and you're watching TV and you get all these options. Man, I just want gas. You know, that's just the gas pump. You haven't even got home yet. You know, you got on your turn on your TV, you got 200. You put on your music, your iPod, well, you're in the thousands there, you know. And then you wonder why we can't hear. God bless you, brother. Yeah. And you can't even, we can't even think for ourselves, let alone hear the voice of God. You can't even relax, and we have to unwind. I went to, a number of years ago, I went to a friend of mine had recommended, I wanted to get away and seek the Lord. And he recommended this little cottage where the Catholic priest would go, and so the hermitage, whatever. Pacham Terrace, was that it? Yeah. Oh, I went there. And my experience was interesting. You know, for those of you that don't know, you go to this place, you know, you want to get away out of the city, and you want to seek the Lord. So you check into the front there, and they give you this little basket with some fruit, and you know, and you get in the pickup, and they take you off into this little cabin in the woods, and they leave you there. And then they said, well, we'll come back and get you tomorrow or whatever, however you arrange it. So I was there for one day. And, man, I got in there, and I didn't realize how much noise and voices and baggage I had. It was just insane. I'm sitting there, you know. And the most exciting thing I did the first hour is I killed a bee. I killed this huge bee. I said, he's not going to help me get out of the spirit. I'm going to kill that bee, man. I got him. It was a lot of work, but I killed him. And it was just, it's just unbelievable how there was just so much. You get my point? And that's why I think it was very right on, Pastor Dave, when the Lord just began to speak to you this morning about rest. Isaiah says, in returning and rest, quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Then it goes on to say, but the children of Israel wouldn't do it. And that's why at the end of that chapter, it says that you'll be like a pole on a mountain or something. In other words, you're going to get beat up. And it's real simple. We have to just release unto the Lord ourselves. Just release afresh and I even had to do that for this morning because there's just so many directions. We were genuinely excited about being out here. I feel God has a connection for us with you folks and you with us. And you know, so I want to say the right things and do the right things. And, you know, and finally after a while I said, you know, Lord, this is all about you and that's what they want to do too either. So just, you know, and you have to just repel these voices, even the good ones sometimes, and these religious things. And once we get released from this, you know, we come to a place where we can enjoy just being with him. I remember years ago when I got out of Bible school, I went to visit my parents, and they were in Arizona at the time. And, you know, coming out of Bible school, you're full of the word, and you're ready to win the world, you know. And my folks were good Lutheran people, but you know, they weren't filled with the Spirit, so so I had to just really, you know, I got on them and just start preaching and this and that. And for days, and finally, when I was leaving to come back to Minneapolis, my mom said, she just said it so gently, so sweet. She says, you know, Mark, we just love you being here. It's just, we just be with you. We're not rejecting what you're saying. But it's just being with you. And that's all the Lord says this morning. What do you, you know, do you ever get God say, what are you doing? Yeah, I had that on a Monday morning, pastors. Monday morning, I go into my office, start praying, and you got to pray in tongues, and you have to pray loud. It's more spiritual, right? You have to have that right Pentecostal quiver. Sha-da-ba-hi-sa, la 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 la, you know. I've got quivering right here. you know, and I just felt, it's like, Lord, what are you doing? And I just, and then I had to get honest with God. You know what, Lord, it's Monday morning. I don't even feel like praying. I just said that. Then I had to pull out my duh sign again. Duh. Well, then don't say anything. Don't do anything. And then a wonderful revelation came. Be still and know that I am God. And then you know what happened? About 15, 20 minutes later, then the tongues rose. Then the power was there. And it was of the Lord. I have many powerful revelations to share with you this morning. Another one. Another one. Well, and that was Monday morning. And so, you know, I don't know about you, but your week, you know, you got this little cycle thing going on. And, you know, Monday, you try to get it going and you're praying. And sometimes you might even start Sunday night, you know, I got a long week. So I'd pray and try and get this. And then for some reason, Tuesday for me would just bottom out, man. Tuesday was my down day. And I had to just climb up from Tuesday to Wednesday to Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you know. And then you start all over again. Yeah, I just, you know, after a few years, not talking years, okay? I'm talking after a few years here, I just, you know, Lord, where does this thing level out? We just live with you. And not get so freaked out about, you know, everything. Yeah, where does this level out? Then it came, Wayne. Jesus had Mondays. Say duh with me. Yes. Jesus had Tuesdays. And on and on. He had Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. He had all those days, and he walked with the Father all those days. He heard from the Father all those days. And I thought, maybe I can do that. He who has the Son has life. Now, there's I'll find it here. I believe it's in Psalms 37. Yes, it is. Thank you, Lord. I got it. Psalms 37, 18 says this. The Lord knows the days of the upright. And their inheritance shall be forever. What is our inheritance? Jesus. He wants us to have not part of him, but all of him. He wants you to eat all of them. You see, and people aren't eating all of Jesus, and that's why they can't go on with him. And it's there's something real, people. The Lord wants us to get a hold of this. It's time not to live for Jesus, but to live with him. It's a whole lot easier. Take my yoke. Learn of me. Don't learn about what you're supposed to do or not supposed to do. Learn of me. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Just another good verse here for you this morning. It goes along with this over in Psalms 86. I had to memorize this one. I work some of the things, just to give you a little background here too, some more. We have been involved full-time for over 30 years, Chanley and I. We live by faith, and God has had us do multiple different things. Street ministry, and as praise and worship leaders, and we've just trusted the Lord to meet our needs and all that. But a few years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago, when all this whatever was going on, the fallout and the recession, all this kind of stuff, and we lost about 40% of our support, and we had to, so I began to work. I was really praying, asking the Lord for not just a job to help supplement our income, but something that coincided with his purpose for us and our vision for his kingdom being built in the city. And so I got hooked up with Minnesota Teen Challenge and got to work on call. Now, I only work on call there because, well, I'm going to just be real blunt. I'd go insane if I worked full time with all these guys. It's crazy, and it is a real challenge. And so in working on call at Minnesota Teen Challenger, one of the jobs I get to do is they have an assignment. They give them like a workbook type thing, and they have to memorize scripture. Okay. So there's a study hall time during the day. I would never imagine years ago that I would be the leader of study hall. Good job. Great. You know, man, I just said, God is God. And so I would correct their assignments, and they come up, and they kept memorizing scripture. I said, very good. And I said, you did this. And the Lord convicted me. I said, when's the last time you memorized any scripture? He touched me. So Psalms 86. I'm going to look at it today, though. I'll cheat. I hope you don't mind. I can do it. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him, and his footsteps shall be our pathway. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, And our land, what we're supposed to increase, will yield its increase. And I want to increase, I don't know about you, I want to just increase more of Jesus. Amen? To have more and more to increase of Jesus. And God will guide our footsteps and our path into it. Righteousness will go before him. You know what that is? That's right living. Right living. Monday. Wednesday. Yeah. Right living all those days. And as we learn to live with the Lord, his steps will be our pathway. Had a real challenging situation last night. Janley's father is, well, soon to go home and be with the Lord. He could even be gone at this moment. And we were with him last night, and one of the families from Detroit Lakes area came, spent time with Dad and Mom, and got to try and describe this, Janley, what happened, help me, but one of their sons, he's what, 18 years old? About 18 years old. And they live out in the country there. And he was walking along the road and he got hit. Guy came back by and hit him. And he's paralyzed, right? Yeah, he is paralyzed. And the father was there last night. He's very good friends with Jan Lee's parents. And he began to share his struggle. One of the hardest things they had, the guy that hit him and his family absolutely showed no remorse. Imagine being the parent of that and living in that community and seeing them at the store and everything, and they absolutely have shown no remorse and or acknowledgement of any way of what they did to their son. And so they have had some serious battles, bitterness and and as he's telling this, and I'm watching the wife, she just kind of has her hand over him, and she just... And to be honest with you, bro, I wasn't thinking of a word, you know, oh, well, let's try to give him a word, you know, the shepherd pastoral thing again. Give him a little comforting word. No, I couldn't imagine, you know, being in that position. And I began to tell him. Somehow we got on to Teen Challenge, and I told him about this story of memorizing the scripture. And I said, and I quoted it to him. I said, yes, the Lord will give what's good. Righteousness will go before him and shall make his footsteps our pathway. I said, you know, you're struggling with this. It's hard, but you're keeping a right attitude. You're living right. And as you continue to do that, you don't understand the way through it. But as you continue to live right, God will make a way through it. And he just broke down, Bob, and began to cry. And that God will make a way for that family. Whatever you're struggling with today, God will make a way through it. We've had some real struggles in the city. We've lost our home. That was tough. God showed Janley, gave her a vision of Daniel and the three men in the fire. Didn't take them, you know, but there was another man in the fire. And they knew who that man was. Our God will deliver us. If he doesn't, he's still God. Right? See, that's a relationship. That's a life. That's a life. And the people are watching. And we're going to close with this today, this story. Like I said, I can get going. Boy, you bring out the coffee, we'll be here all day. We can get stories, man. We'll get down. But here's a testimony that is sure that the Lord has done in our lives in the city. The house that we lived in for 18 years. You know, as we lived there and raised our three boys and we began to travel, you know, I went to the Ukraine, was going all over, and I would bring our neighbor lady, Dolores, bring her back flowers from Amsterdam, you know, from the airport there. And just different things like that. And Dolores, elderly lady, she was divorced, and we would bring her, you know, meals at Christmas time and stuff like that. But I never witnessed to her once. Went around the world, went on the streets, won all kinds of people to the Lord, and done all kinds of witnessing and wonderful work. Never witnessed my neighbor. And Dolores got struck with cancer. And one night, Jan Lee and I went out our back door, and it was really bad. I mean, she was going down. She was dying. And Jan Lee and I walk out the back door, and the daughters were out in the backyard having a little smoke break. And they said, "Mark, can we talk to you and Jan Lee?" And they said, "We just come out of the house with Mom, and we were talking funeral arrangements. And she said she doesn't want the priest to bury her. She wants you to do the funeral." And naturally, I was shocked. But I'll tell you, folks, there was just something. I can't even explain to this thing, but it just came out. I said, "I'm honored, and I'm, you know, but there's not going to be a funeral. She's going to live. We believe God's going to heal her. She's going to live." And I don't remember how long it was after that. I saw her out in the alley, her and her, not stepson, but son-in-law, yeah. We're out in the alley, and I just put my hands on her head and just prayed for her. Didn't even ask her. I just said, "In the name of Jesus, be healed." And left it at that, and she got healed. She got healed. She got healed. I'm serious. She got healed. And she, I mean, we celebrated it. And they got healed. And then sometime later, I don't know, 6 months, a year or something, we're out raking in the yard. And she said, "Mark, I went to the doctor today, and he thinks he saw something again." And the same thing happened, Pastor Bob. I looked at her and said, "Well, tell the doctor to get his eyes checked." And she started, like, you know, she starts laughing, you know. And he comes back, and it was gone. You know, and so they had us to come out and celebrate again, you know. And my point is this: that lady saw our lives. It was our lives. Never witnessed her, yet she wanted us to do her funeral. People remember more of the life you live. This is what we're called to, people. That's why the battle may be so intense right now. The enemy doesn't want you to have that life. And you need to release some things this morning. You know, Wayne, I'm glad you're here. You and Mary, I'm so glad you're here, because the last time we were with them over in the Ukraine, before we left, their last night before they left, they made me come and play guitar. There was no option. There was, "Mark, you will sing for us. You will play. We will worship." And we did. And the song I felt to sing that night was, it was an old song that used to be on the radio back in about 1961. It was written. Curtis Mayfield wrote the song and the impressions, and it was called "People Get Ready." There's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage. You just get on board. I believe that was a prophetic song given to that man for such a time. All you need is faith. Man, I'm getting goosebumps, right? Getting Pentecostal here. You know? All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket. Just get on board. Relax. We'll get to it. See? This is like, now, 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 now. That's all right. I'm with you. Come on, Jan Lee. We're going to close with this today. And even as we're singing this, And then we're going to have a time of prayer. We'll just do that.